Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, round one is in the bag, done and dusted, and we all eyes ahead are looking towards round two now, and teams have obviously dropped yesterday as well, so there's plenty to discuss. And Nick, how'd you go, mate? I think you did a little bit better than me in the first week.
Mate, what a tough week, hey? Good to be back on the pod with you again, mate, for another week, but what a tough week round one was. I had a 962. Which didn't actually end up being too bad, all things considered. Top 15%, 18,000th overall. Tommy Turbo got some nice upgrades as captain. Obviously had Katoa in my starting team, which didn't help. And about a half an hour before the Panthers game, put Latu into my 17 instead of switched out Kakao. So it's a, you know, it's a case of could have been a 10-20, a 10-30 very easily. But it's just one of those weekends, isn't it, mate, that has you wondering, why do we play this game?
Yeah, definitely. The Wenons had a tough week as well, finishing with 914. Got a couple of upgrades at the final review of scores on Monday, which was nice. So we finished with 914, but I did have Teddy as captain. So, he could have easily have scored 70 to 80 points. So it could have been very, very different. Apart from Teddy, mate, to be honest, I was quite happy with how our side performed outside of TKO as well. So everybody else in there was all right with. I had Latu on the bench, so he wasn't in my 17. Unfortunately, had Kakao also not in my 17 as well. But, I started with Rocco and very happy with that. He performed well. Lodge in the 17, I think that he was fine. And, you know, the rest of the players pretty much talked to themselves and, maybe in the backs, hard luck cases for Mitchell Moses with the sin bin and the HIA, but still he did well with 35 points. And then the two Raiders guys as well, I think, were a tad unlucky not to score a little bit better, particularly BJ, who bombed a try over the line. So, pretty happy with the Wenons, man. There's nothing too drastic for me. I mean, if you're reading Twitter and having a bit of a look around, people are starting to freak out, aren't they, and look to start making trades after the first week. And, you know, if we go by last year as an example as well, when you're seeing some of the top 20 scores in round one, including the likes of Joel Thompson, Bryce Goodwin, David Fisatua, it's not really, we don't need to go and make trades now if we don't need to.
No, mate, completely agree. You know, exactly like you just said, even though my team scored less than 1,000, there's no one in particular who I can really single out. Look, mate, maybe Latu, but I'm all for giving these guys another week. You know, you never know. Latu scores a try and next week and all of a sudden he's up to 50 or 60. And the one point I did want to make is obviously these round one scores, for anyone who's new to Supercoach, they only sort of count towards the first price rise. So the price rises are calculated off a 3-round historical rolling average. So once you get to round four, this round one score will be forgotten in a player's price anyway. So really when you're thinking price rises, it's the most irrelevant score of the whole year. So a bad score can very easily be rectified by a decent score this week. I hate bringing in rookies until you know they're going to play a third game. You know, so the likes of Tanganoa, Rocco, etc. If you had them in week one, obviously well done and you're not going to sell them. But I just don't like bringing them in for week two because you never know what's going to happen. Rocco is very injury prone in particular. He might not even get a third game. It's just, you know, maybe if you've got Katoa in the outside backs, if you missed out on Asako or Kenna, I would definitely endorse that trade. And obviously Tarpany looks like he's going to be out for a while. But aside from them, I just don't see the point in throwing away, you know, a summer's worth of research to jump off the likes of Tedesco, for example. Kalyn Ponga in, Tedesco out is the seventh most popular trade. And sure, Ponga played well, but I mean, Tedesco's going to be a great player this year. There is you either chose one of those two to start with and you stick with it. There's no point in making those sort of trades.
Yeah, no, you make fantastic points there. And I mean, the research that you've done has said, no, I'm going to pick Tedesco ahead of a Ponga or a Dvojevic.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
just off the back of one game, you're not going to make that change. I mean, if you look at the three games across those gun fullbacks, you know, Tedesco should have scored a try and had a line break, dropped a clean ball, which is very much unlike him, probably has had a lot of nerves. So he scores 70 or 80 any other week. Tom Dvojevic, you know, was an inch off tonning it up. There were so many times that he went very, very close to, you know, making a big play. And then Ponga, you know, scored a significant amount of his points within the first 10 minutes of the game. And then, you know, had, you know, converted all of his goals as well. So that's not going to happen each week. I don't think, whichever way you've gone with those three backs in your strategy, I don't think anyone's made a wrong decision. I think all three players look fantastic. And it just depends if you've gone with Ponga and maybe one of the guns, you know, how have you spent your cash elsewhere? Have you spent it on a Gallon and then he's bombed? So, yeah, I wouldn't be touching any of our legitimate keepers, which Tedesco is. I mean, if we look at some of the top traded out players at the moment, there's Lani Latu, Sione Katoa, TKO and Ben French, also joining James Tedesco in the top five. I mean, we can just talk to them very briefly now, Nick. Latu, I can't understand why he's been traded out by over 7,000 people at the moment. It's come to fruition today that he actually dislocated his finger in the first half and then played the rest of the game with that. So I think that definitely has an impact on his output because he's not going to be offloading. He's also going to be struggling with his tackles as well. And it had to have had an impact on his minutes. So I'm definitely giving him another week at least to see what happens. Katoa, you know, that makes perfect sense. As you say, we don't have to spend too much time. And TKO, he's probably the one player that I'm looking at now and seriously considering getting rid of him this week just because the reason for why I picked him was the goal kicking and a couple of other things there. And then, you know, that hasn't eventuated. So, you know, I got it wrong potentially with TKO. So now you can fix the mistake. And there are some fantastic options we'll talk about through and a little bit later, you know, hovering just above that $300,000 mark.
Yeah, agree completely. I didn't know that about Latu's finger, so that makes sense, and hopefully a few people will reverse those trades. But, selling Tedesco, Jared Croker, Milford, the fifth, sixth and seventh most sold, like selling Milford after he had one down week where he's got a run of games now at Suncorp, a good draw over the next month, that's just ludicrous.
Yeah, and he's, you know, his average away from Suncorp is, I think, 50 or around about that, where he averages close to 80 at Suncorp. So we always knew that this was going to happen. He's also coming off a pretty big injury as well. So and also against a very good Dragon side. So it wasn't surprising in the way that he performed. So you can't get off him. Completely agree. Croker, I mean, that's almost similar to a TKO in terms of you probably had a bit of a shot of the dark about going for him over the likes of a BJ or something, but yeah, definitely 1 week is you can't judge it. He had a HIA as well, so he was off, and he definitely didn't look right after that massive hit by Hurrell, so I wouldn't be moving on him.
No, exactly. Like you say, 67 minutes. And, you know, Sangster said on his podcast last night, you know, if any of us got smashed by Hurrell, we'd probably run to the hills and never be seen again. So he did pretty well just to get back out there and get you 21 points, to be honest. And, yeah, that first game's not going to have a huge impact on his price. So there's no point in selling him, I don't think. So, yeah, unless you've got a Katoa and you missed on one of the rooks or TKO, who I wasn't too keen on anyway to begin with. I don't think you should be trading this week.
Yeah, makes sense. The only player I'm playing looking at is TKO, just because I potentially want to give myself two full trades next week to get the rookies in and the rookies right before their first price rise. But I definitely wouldn't be advocating trading a keeper or a gun. So with that said and done, mate, should we just work straight through the game? So we're going to have a bit of a different approach this year. Rather than working through the news, which is generally the team selection, and then looking at, you know, what are some of the big trades, how we thought we'd structure it this time around is going through each of the upcoming games and then just talking to any players of note, as we work through them, which I think would cover exactly what we've done previously. So let's start with the Sharks versus the Dragons this Thursday night at 8 o'clock at Southern Cross Stadium. So from a team news perspective there, so Aaron Gray replaces Katoa on the wing, and Paul Gallen returns to the starting side with Kurt Capewell moving to the bench. So Gallen's probably our first player of note to discuss. So he scored 40 in 45 minutes. So obviously that's something that not many of us were expecting, but some of the more shrewd super coaches out there would have known that he had limited trial time. So the slow return is probably something to be expected in hindsight. So he's one of those players that you've just got to hold. He'd probably take one or two games to return to full fitness, but he's going to be fantastic going forward.
Yeah, agree. It's a disappointing first week output, but definitely hold him. We know he's a gun. He'll come right. We've spoken about Katoa from the Sharks. And then my boy Fifita, 57 and 58 minutes, top score for the Sharks for the game. So obviously the Supercoach scores for the Sharks were very down in this game, but 51 in base, couple of errors. The minutes were definitely there, and obviously Gallen having limited involvement usually leads to Fifita scoring more points. I don't think anyone's selling him, and he should increase this week. It'd be good to have him potentially as a VC option tomorrow night, and Townsend kicked goals for the Sharks and not Holmes or anyone else.
So what about what's happening with the Dragons, mate? Have they made any changes?
Mate, minimal changes super coach wise. Saleh's back to the bench and Lattimore is in to the side as well. So nothing really super coach relevant there. As you mentioned at the top of the show, they absolutely smashed the Broncos out there at Cogra Oval. Widdop did what Widdop does at Cogra with 106 points, 28 of those coming from goals. Vaughan, 52 in 56 minutes, all in base. Missing the attacking stats that he had early on last season. So it'll be interesting to see if he can get a bit of an attacking run going at any stage. DeBellin, 79 with a try. And then Lei Lua, 13. And he also backed up in Reggie's on Sunday, doing it old school there. What do you think he's – I don't think he's really worth selling. He's so cheap. Maybe you go to a Tanganoa or someone next week, but I'm going to have another look at him this week.
Yeah, no, I'm quite thankful that I dodged that bullet, mate. So if I had him, I would be, holding this week, but then looking to maybe move him on, in round three before the first price rise if Tanganoa holds his spot. But, Tanganoa could be out by week four or five, so that could be a very much a wasted trade. Widdop is just a lock any single time he plays at Cogra. He averages over 90 there. So for all those playing Play On or some of the other daily fantasy games out there, whenever you see him lining up at Cogra, he should be your first pick. And yeah, you've nailed it, mate, with Vaughan. Without those attacking stats, it just can't. He won't get close to it, and that's why a lot of us thought that he was overpriced this year. So the next game of the round is the Roosters versus the Bulldogs on Friday night at 6 p.m. at Allianz Stadium. So Luke Keary returns this week, which is a huge boost, particularly for the likes of Mitchell and Tupu. And Boyd Cordner has been named to start after coming off the bench with Madison moving back to the bench. So there, the big talking point for me, mate, is just TKO. So he had 38 points in 49 minutes and no kicking. So Latrell did all the goal kicking.
Yeah, look, like I said, I wasn't too keen on TKO in the preseason. I know people thought he was going to kick, but obviously not going to happen. And you made a good point earlier about wanting the two trades for next week to just to, you know, finesse some of those rookie selections. So, yeah, I've got no problem if I know I just said about 5 minutes ago that I wouldn't trade in round one, but I've got no problem if people want to sell TKO because I don't think he's going to be that 60 plus player that he was, you know, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. So Teddy, we've spoken about, don't need to dwell on him any further, except that I will probably be putting the captain's armband on him against the Bulldogs side.
Oh, VC or straight C?
Straight C. But my VC options are playing on the Thursday night. So the Bulldogs leaked a lot of points against the Storm and looked pretty shithouse in defence, to be frank. So I'm expecting the Roosters with Keary back in to score a lot of points on Friday night. And, you know, Tedesco was extremely close to putting on a big score. So I'm just going to get back there and hopefully is it more of a pod captain selection. And the couple other players of note there is Latrell Mitchell. So he was one of the hype players. And I was one of the main, you know, big advocate of not selecting him. However, with the full-time kicking duties now, it appears we'll just see what happens this week, but you know that is a huge plus for him, and the fact that he scored 30 points without doing much is also a positive.
Yeah, definitely. I watched most of the Roosters Tigers, and like you've noted here, they really went down Ferguson's side. Ferguson and Manu down that side were really busting the Tigers open a few times, so yeah, little bit concerned as a Mitchell owner, to be honest. I'll be very interested to see what happens this game, if they go back to his side or not.
Yeah, but I think with the kicking duties, he should at least hold his average. And then you can, you know, look to move him on in a couple of weeks if he doesn't perform. And then we've spoken to Ferguson before. You know, he looked really good and they did go down that edge a lot. But let's see what happens with Keary back in the side. For the Bulldogs, so no changes there. Aaron Woods was someone that I was very interested in before the start of the season, and he performed really well for his first game at Belmore with 65 points in 57 minutes and 51 of those in base points. So he's definitely one that I'm, you know, keeping a very close eye on, particularly with the limited amount of guns in the front row.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't realize that he scored 65. I didn't believe you, so I had to look it up. But that's a good score. Like you say, guns in the front row are minimal. So, yeah, I'd be keen on Woods. Price is not going to jump up hugely. Break even will probably be around that 60 average come round three. So he could be around 4 or 5 trade in. If he continues going on the way that he went in round one. And Fitala Marin is the other interesting player from the Bulldogs. 76 points. It did include a try, though. Base stats around the 35 to 40 mark. So like to see a bit more from him before jumping on, but definitely positive signs there, playing the full 80.
Mate, you're doing well with the stats and all the facts this podcast. Are you a little bit more prepared this week?
Yeah, a little bit prepared. Yep, definitely. Between the two of us, we did a good little run sheet here, and I've got NRLSupercoachStats.com open at the same time. So trying to bring a few more facts to the show this year.
Yeah, NRL NRLSupercoachStats.com is legit. Love it. I was on there today using the pivot tables and all that stuff, and that is fantastic. So if anyone hasn't gone to that site yet and had a bit of a look, it is a fantastic free product, and love everything that they're doing over there. So strongly endorse that. The next game, Brisbane Broncos versus the Cowboys. I'll be there. I'm pretty pumped. It's going to be these games are generally down to 1 or 2 points, so it should be fantastic. So for the Broncos, McCullough returns to the starting side, and Sam Thaiday moves to the bench while Tom Apicic replaces the suspended Sua on the interchange. And I guess with Thaiday moving to the bench, that has a bit of an impact from the Supercoach perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It really opens up more minutes for Pangai. He was a bit of a late option last week after being named in the starting side. That sort of hour before kickoff. So I didn't get a chance to have a good look at him and even consider bringing him in. But 57 in 46 minutes, looks like his break even's going to be around about zero come come round three. So look, he's probably going to jump up about 30k in that first price rise. Starting front row this week, really like the look of him as a mid-pricer, and he'd be one who I would be very keen to look to bring in potentially or this week if you wanted, but next week. But I think there's little risk with him. He's in the side, he's locked in. Yeah, I like the look of him.
Yeah, he's definitely the other guy is going to be SA as well that we'll talk about a little bit later on, but priced at that $330,000 mark. He's someone that I'm strongly considering at the moment as a downgrade from TKO with points per minute of 1.2, and he had 39 base points as well last week. The only issue I have is, you know, what does Wayne Bennett do? So, he obviously started this week, but what happens, does he actually move back to the bench with Thaiday starting? And, you know, it's very hard to predict. So while she said there's limited risk, I'm actually seeing a bit of risk with this. He needs the 40 minutes to score well. He only needs 40 minutes to score well. So that is a massive positive, but it is still a bit of a risky pick, but he certainly looked fantastic and looked like he was going to, to offload effectively every hit up. So he's a ready-made super coach weapon there. Milford, we've already spoken to. Just stick with him. Don't worry about trading him out. He'll be fine. He's got some three easy games or easy-ish games coming up. So, just hold him. And then Matthew Lodge returning to the NRL. He's a very popular player, scored 45 points in 57 minutes. And, reports on that he had a terrible game. I actually thought that he did, relatively speaking, quite well. It must have been the toughest, 57 minutes of his footballing career with everything that was happening and the boos that he was receiving. But, to score 45 points, he made a couple of errors, which is negative six. So that's pushing over 50 points from a $200,000 player, and the 57 minutes is a positive as well. So he looks like he's going to be a very solid cow.
Yeah, definitely. Agree. It'll be interesting when McCulloch increases his workload. McCulloch only played 46. Maguire only played 60. So it'll be interesting once those guys push up towards 80, where do the minutes, who do the minutes come off? I think Lodge will lose a few minutes. And I take your point on Pangai. He might lose a few minutes there as well because Matt Gillette only played 68 or so. So it's going to be interesting over the next month or so, that makeup of that Broncos forward pack and how the minutes get shared.
To be completely honest, I wouldn't be surprised to see Thaiday get dropped. He looked horrible and fat on last Thursday. And, you've got Corey Oates, which is pushing for a forward bench spot, and there's a few other guys there that are, up and coming. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Thaiday to be the man to make way as Bennett looks to start to promote some and blood some of his younger forwards. We know that Thaiday won't be there next year, so potentially he's the guy to make way. So for the Cowboys, there are no changes. Michael Morgan, I think, is a slight or very slight chance of coming back in, but he looks like he'll take his place inside next week. So Taumalolo was one of the players that we had listed on the side as a bust, and he kind of put cream pie in our face, mate, with 66 points, 53 minutes, and 53 of those in base points. So another massive performance from Taumalolo.
Yeah, very solid there from Lolo, only sort of 7 or 8 points below his season average from last year. He's going to be solid. He might dip in price a bit, maybe around six or so. You might get him 50 grand cheaper than what he is now, but he's looking like a good option again this year. Matt Scott only played the 33 minutes and 35 points. He'll increase his minutes over time. And you've been on Gavin Cooper, and you've had him in prior years as well. You seem to really like this bloke for some reason.
Well, I mean, just with JT in the side, he scores substantially better. So I think he dropped down to a mid 40 point average last year, but all the years before that he was high 50s, low 60s with JT in the side. And the first game back with JT, he scores 57 points in 80 minutes. I mean, that did have a try, but he's at an edge forward, and he does score quite a few tries. So he did have 32 base points, so I don't think he's a keeper, but You know, he isn't the worst pot option as a you know, a mid pricer who should increase up to you know, being just below the gun category and be a very easy upgrade.
Yep. Yeah. And that game, Cowboys versus Sharks, was there was minimal Supercoach points scored all round, so it's pretty solid output, 57 points and 66 for Taumalolo there, mate. Next game, Warriors Titans. Now I'm going to go over to the to New Zealand after the grand final for the parade. Are you coming or what?
Mate, the Titans will beat the Warriors this weekend.
Mate, they've already planned the parade. Okay.
Mate, that's a stake bet.
Mate, really? The Titans are in New Zealand?
Yep.
All right, deal. Lock it in.
Sweet. Can't wait for that stake.
Lock it in. No changes for either team in this matchup. So we'll just talk through some of the players of interest from round one. And we'll start with the Warriors back row. So Papa Lee had 58 in 80 minutes and Sao 46 in 40 minutes and Tohu Harris 68 in 80 minutes with 44 from base. So, look, I mean, it's up in the air until Mannering comes back. If you picked up one of these guys initially, you know, you're going to stick with him and see what happens when Mannering comes back. But I personally couldn't bring either of them in just with that uncertainty.
Yeah, no, not looking at either of these players. I mean, if you started with them, good luck to you, but I wouldn't be trading them in. There's just too much risk with both for me. Tohu Harris is I think, a very good option. 68 points in 80 minutes, but you know, there was 44 points from base, so that is a little bit concerning. But you know, he looks set to play huge minutes at the Storm, and at the Warriors coming from the Storm. So I'm expecting him to have a good season, and should be a pod option throughout the whole year.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And SJ, I think he's a really good captain option this week. If you have a look at Semi's article, which just went up on the site today, his scores against the Titans in like the last six to eight games are just huge. So have a look at that and consider locking him in as captain. We mentioned no changes for the Gold Coast. Quite a few players of interest though. So let's start with three of the cheaper players. Cartwright with 43 in 52 minutes. Latu, we've sort of spoken about 24 and 40 minutes. We both think give him another week, especially with that news that he dislocated a finger early on. And then Sammy, 64 points, obviously played the full game, 29 base. I think he picked up a try to obviously get up to that 64. Mate, if you've got Katoa to Sammy, you probably wouldn't do it this week, but that could be an option for next week, couldn't it?
Yeah, I just want to see another week. I was really surprised to see the 29 base points when I was looking through it today. Did not expect him to be doing that much work. But if he gets through that again this weekend, then you know, the low 200s, despite playing in the Titans side, I think that he is looming as a fantastic trade in.
Yeah, he's definitely done a lot better than I thought he would initially, and watched a bit of this game as well. Not the whole game, but watched a bit, and he actually looked quite good. I was impressed.
Yeah, I mean, there should be some points in the Titans this year, but I think they'll concede a lot. So you know, Sammy could be a better cow than what we're expecting. Cartwright, so he played the 52 minutes. What I thought was really interesting was that his substitutions were very odd. So he had a huge break in between when he went off to when he came back on in like the 68th minute. So I kind of think that maybe there was a niggle or something happened with him, because Ryan James was only off for 4 minutes. So he played 76 minutes in the game, which again is probably not what they were planning to do. So yeah, I another person that I definitely wouldn't be writing off. I mean, you know, that's pretty good point per minute, considering that all of his stats were from base.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's pretty solid, to be honest. 43 points in his first game for a new club. I don't think you can really complain. Mate, Jai Arrow, 38 in 48 minutes. That's pretty solid. I thought he actually looked quite good. Will Matthews, 47 in 55 minutes, available in the centre wing. I did not realise that. He could be a bit of a pod option out there if you wanted a bit more stability. Ryan James with 60 points, 54 in base, good output. And Ash Taylor, even though he scored 95, he's far too inconsistent. I brought him in as buy coverage last year and it was the death of my side. Even though it was probably dead before I did that, there's no way I could recommend getting on him.
Yeah, I mean, he only produced 11 base points on the weekend, so that is horrible. So, you know, his variation between his good and his bad is pretty big. So, yeah, he's a player that I wouldn't be going near. Although I'm expecting him to have a solid season in 2018. Will Matthews is the one for me just to keep an eye on. So he's priced at the same as Sammy and also available in the same position. 47 points, as you said, in 55 minutes, 29 base points. So he's going to be probably more consistent than Sammy, you'd think, week in, week out. You know, won't score those tries. And the minutes is the big thing. Will he continue to get the 50-plus minutes? I'm not sure. So depends what happens with Cardi. That's why I think, you know, Cardi's minutes were a bit down due to something that hasn't been made public for whatever reason. So Matthews played probably more minutes than the normal, and then you know, also same with James.
Yep, agreed, mate. All right, well, that's four games down. Should we take a bit of a break to hear from our sponsors and then come back and wrap this thing up?
I think that's a great idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, back here for the last four games of the week, the last eight teams. We got Panthers and Rabbitohs, the second game on Saturday. Penrith have got Campbell Gillard back into the starting side along with Kakao, although both of them came off the bench last week. So be interesting to see how they go with their final lineup. No other changes for the side. So like we mentioned earlier, Kakao was named to start, dropped back to the bench, played 35 minutes, injured himself, still scored 87 points, including a try. Just beast. He's in beast mode.
He is, mate. Hopefully you can keep doing that. I mean, the 35 minutes is a worry, but, you know, shifting back to the starting side this week. So let's see what happens.
Merrin, 73 in 50 minutes with 56 of that in base is a very good, like that as a Merrin owner. Nathan Cleary, 83 points. He's a gun. He should have a good year. Dylan Edwards, not much spoken about him, obviously, with the plethora of other very strong options at fullback, but had a great debut season last year, 73 points in round one. Pod, but with those other three guys at fullback, I don't think he's really going to come into consideration, is he?
Yeah, well, I think he's a pod, but it's a risky selection to make. I think he's probably more a an option for the draft, you know, component of the game, rather than Supercoach Classic. But, you know, that he could be you know, a player that could, you know, produce 100 points in the weeks that, you know, a Teddy or a Turbo, you know, produces 60 to 70 points. But it's hard to go past those two guns, as you pointed out.
Yeah. Maloney, 3 points. What the hell happened there? I didn't watch all of this game, Penrith versus Para, but 3 points is a joke. His price is obviously going to really dip. And he has been a good Supercoach player in the past, so he could be a pot option in your halves in about 5 or 6 weeks' time. And Mansour, 40 points coming back from that ACL. Not the worst score, really, to be honest.
Yeah, not the worst score. And 32 points of that came from base. And, I mean, you know, he's had nearly 6 months under his belt returning from injury. So he should be pretty much 100% now, you'd think. So if I'm a Mansour owner, I'm not panicking. You know, Peachy didn't pass in the ball, as we kind of expected, but you know, I still think without the try, the 32 points in base is really good. So I'd be also just holding on to him for a bit. You know, with Maloney, he's obviously not kicking goals this season, so that probably makes him, you know, not relevant at all from a Supercoach perspective. And you know, with Cleary just dominating an attack, Maloney is probably going to be a forgotten option.
Yeah, fair point. I forgot about those goals, mate. Lucky someone here is steering the ship, right?
That's correct. It's been 10 long years of me steering you around, mate.
Right, a few interesting changes here for the Rabbits. Obviously, Reynolds is out, so I'll have a crack at this. I don't really know how to say it properly, but Doherty is in at halfback, obviously played quite well in the World Cup, so interesting to see how he goes. Burgess to prop, Cam Murray into lock, and old mate Nichols back to the bench, which is a little bit annoying. Fui Moano is in for Heimel Hunt on the interchange. So a bit doing there at the Rabbits, isn't there, given it's only round two?
Yeah, plenty doing there. Nichols is the real concerning one. People are, you know, flocking to trade Latu out, but for me the real concern is Nichols. He produced a very bad score in his last trial match and produced pretty much the similar thing with 27 points in 41 minutes. So he'll be a very slow-burning cow and may not earn that much money at all, but given he is locked into that side, you're not going to trade him out. Damien Cook proved to be the player that we thought that he was going to be and well worth his money at the moment. So he had 67 points in 80 minutes. And I know here you're saying that he might even kick goals this week with Reynolds out.
Yeah, well, that's what Sangster and co were saying on their pod. Doherty, I don't think, is the best goal kicker, so there's a potential that Cook may kick goals, which would even, you know, maybe add 6-8 points to his score. So could be a big week coming up for Cook. Hopefully we find that out from Wacko and co. later in the week. Totola, 28 points in 23 minutes. All base stats, so good PPM, but limited minutes, not an option. But Burgess, 63 points, 57 from base. I know I rubbished him in the preseason. That's a good output in round one. Still not for mine, but if he can stay healthy and keep his anger in check, he could be a good option again this year. But Angus Crichton, mate, I think he's the more interesting one.
Definitely, 69 points in 80 minutes and 51 of those from base, and he had three errors. So, you know, that could have been a 75-point game. So he looms as a definite pod, fantastic pod at your elite gun category in the second row. And he's a player that I'm definitely keeping my eye on going forward. But it doesn't look like he's going to drop too much in value.
No, I don't think he'll drop. But I think once these rookies start to fatten up, he'll be one of the first ones that I try to look to bring in, you know, around 6, 7, 8, somewhere around there.
And what about Gagai, mate? So he is his first game for the Rabbitohs, and he performed really well with 61 points, 31 of those coming from base, and he also had three errors too. So there was a few people talking about him in the preseason, potentially having a breakout year super coach wise, you know, lining up in the centres where he's performed best in Supercoach historically. So is he someone that you're interested in at all?
Yeah, at 477K, he's really in that sort of Gagai, Croker, Mansour, Hayne, BJ. You know, there's a big gang of them all around that price. I'd probably have, you know, maybe Gagai and BJ at the top of the list, followed by Hayne and Mansour and Croker. So I don't think, it's stupid, but he's not a must-have, but, I mean, anyone can work that out. But, yeah, he looked okay. Should make a bit of cash, but I don't think he'll move too far from that sort of 500K price range.
Yeah, I mean, the base stats are very good there, and we see year in, year out that the top five centre wings are not the same. It's always changing. It's extremely hard to predict. So Gagai could be one of those ones that does make that jump into the, you know, the elite centre wing. And it all depends, I guess, on how Souths play this year. But, you know, Gagai is coming into the prime in his career and is, you know, playing with a side that is a lot better than what the Newcastle outfit were over the last couple of years. So he's another player on a watch list for me. And then Kennel, we've spoken to him. So two tries for 80 points. He is a lock, you know, a player that we need to have for cash generation. However, I don't know if he is a starting 17 kind of guy, and people might get caught out this week locking him into the side. You know, I think the Panthers should beat the Rabbitohs, so he might be, might not score too well.
Yeah, so for those of us who started Katoa, obviously we can't start him this week. So I think there's going to be a Kenna versus Isako decision for a lot of people this week. I've put Kenna in my side at the moment. Obviously, Broncos' tough matchup against North Queensland, not usually more than sort of 18 or 20 points in those outings. Who would you start out of Kenna and Isako?
I'd go Isako playing at Suncorp. I think he was fantastic last week and, produced quite a – although he did score the try, he did look really, really good. I think that he's got plenty of points in him, as I do the Broncos this week as well. Whereas, Kenna is probably relies a little bit more on the tries. So, I'll be probably picking Isako over him, and that's probably likely to be a bit of a pod option as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think most people would go Kenna after that 80-point outing, but we shall see. All right, three more games. Let's get them done. Storm versus Tigers is the late game Saturday night. Billy Slater is back for his 300th. Munster to 5-8. Riley Jack's out of the side. So I think the Storm are going to absolutely annihilate the Tigers this week. Cameron Smith is my captain for sure. I will let you say why you don't think he's your captain in a second. But Jay Brom, 45 points from 48 minutes. I never liked Jay Brom this year, but I'm not going to write him off after 1 week. Let's see what happens. Nass, 58 points in 34 minutes, only 32 in base. Still a very good output for him. And Munster, he's just an awesome footy player to watch. Turned up in week one. Back into the halves this weekend. Interesting to see how he goes. But he, along with Crichton, will be the first two upgrades that I aim to do in my team this year, I think.
Yeah, right. Well, I conveniently left Cody Walker off the run sheet as well, mate, and also Munster, because those were the two guys that I had wanted in my side all preseason and just conveniently managed to not start with them in round one, and both had fantastic games. Munster obviously moves away from fullback, though, to the halves, so that'll impact his scoring output. I think he averaged around about 60 there last year, but yeah, he looked fantastic. Bromwich just looks like he's done and dusted. Wolfram made a really good point the week before kickoff, where he hasn't really. Yes, he averaged in the 60s in 2016, but he pretty much did nothing from about halfway through that season. So I think he's done and dusted. And then Smith, whilst he looms as a really safe captain option, the only risk that I see is because I think that the Storm will win 13 plus, that, what happens if they're up by 20 or so points with 20 minutes to go? Does he come off the field and just get rested?
I just because it's a milestone game, I don't think he will. But I don't know. I mean, I don't proclaim to be a Storm expert by any means, but that would have me leaning towards him staying on and playing the full 80.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think, though, that there is a risk there with with them going big and then him getting a bit of a send-off, whether it be 10 minutes or 15 minutes, probably more likely the 10 minutes, and that's going to impact your impact his scoring output.
Yeah, he'll probably be on 120 by then, so that's all right.
Okay, so what about the Tigers? They obviously had a fantastic game last week and surprise win over the Roosters. No change, or only one change there, with Madaleno named to start and Eisenhuth will come off the bench. So a player of interest here, mate, is Eason Masters. So 72 points in 80 minutes. Nofo who?
Yeah, what a beast. Hey, Masters and Corey Thompson, in that last sort of 15 minutes when the game really opened up, they were just carving the Roosters up down that side. Masters with 72 and Corey Thompson with 97. They both looked awesome. Masters is 473K, Corey Thompson 319. Masters is too expensive, but Corey Thompson 319, he's interesting. Big score in round one. I would not be bringing him in this week, but I'm interested to see what he scores.
Yeah, no, despite the price, Masters appeals to me a lot more than Corey Thompson. 36 points in base, and that's fantastic for where he's playing. So if he can hold his place in the side and produce a similar kind of base performance this week, then he's going to become very, very interesting. Rocco, we've already spoken about 61 points in 80 minutes. I was commenting on this on a chat that we have on WhatsApp, and although he wasn't scoring that well throughout the first half, he was, for mine, the best player on the field for the Tigers. And, you know, thankfully those scores came over the second half, and he looked really good. So I think he retains his spot and played the 80 minutes on the edge as well. And Lolo here. So there's a bit of talk about him not making the 17 for the Tigers, with Thompson starting at fullback, but Lolo here did start at fullback and scored 64 points with 30 of those from base, and he's kicking goals. So, you know, he is, for me, is a bit of a pod option, and he's available at 5'8 and fullback. So that's pretty handy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. 472K. Not the worst option there. And like you've got here, Eisenhuth, mate, he's a beast. 53 points, 52 minutes, all base. Exactly what you've got here. If he gets more minutes, he could be the next Nathan Brown. He just looked awesome out there. A big boy, you know, hitting it up hard, getting through a heap of work. I was really impressed by his game.
Yeah, no, agree. And then what happened to Madalena? So he only played 34 minutes. I know he didn't come off the bench for a long time. Any reason for that?
Look, not sure. I think maybe they're just easing him in, but I'd be guessing, to be honest. But yeah, I was interested in him initially in the preseason, didn't go with him, and I don't think he's an option at the moment. Whilst some of these younger forwards, you know, Alex Twoll played really well, and Eisenhuth, well, they're sort of looking strong, and then Rocco and the other boys in the back row are playing big minutes also.
Yeah, and we did talk to Corey Thompson, but he had 97 points and 34 from base. So a guy that's playing on the wing, that's fantastic. And then Twoll as well. So I haven't seen him before, but he looked really good. 43 points and 39 minutes. He's a big, rangy forward, and you know, he could look like he'd get the offload away or two. 41 points from his and base. So he's probably a player to monitor as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's already 400K, played about 8 games last year, I think. So probably irrelevant given that price, but they've got some good young forwards there at the Tigers.
Yeah, that's a dagger.
Yeah, I know. That's a killer, isn't it? And Eisenhuth is 500K. Yeah. I mean, you know, these guys got blooded in the back half of last year, so unfortunately their prices are already quite high.
Yeah, the Eisenhuth one was, you know, I remember him picking him up as a cheaper player last year, and unfortunately he's only available in the second row. You know, I was hoping that he potentially could have been dual centre wing second row, but he's a dual second row front row forward. But yeah, you're right, he's far too expensive at the moment. But, you know, he keeps playing those 50-odd minute games, his price will decrease, and then we'll see what happens.
For sure. All right, Manly versus Para on the early game Sunday afternoon. So for Manly, Matthew Wright is out and Brad Parker is in. I don't know why. I'm not sure if it's injury or not, but Brad Parker, cheapy to watch there. And Jackson Hastings and Lloyd Perrott come in for Lewis Brown and Frank Winterstein. So a lot of changes for a team that only lost by 1 point in Golden Point. So let's see what happens. Obviously, Lewis Brown and Frank Winterstein played a grand total of 1 minute between them. Lachlan Croker, 23 points, looked pretty decent from an NRL perspective, so better days ahead for him. Tanganoa, we spoke about him. I sort of rubbished him a bit in the preseason, but I was very impressed with his game, almost a point per minute, and he's one to hold and potentially jump on next week if he can retain his spot for round three. Jake Trbojevic played 89 minutes and only scored 59 points. Not ideal. Would have liked to see, you know, a few more attacking stats from him. Lost a few points due to errors and penalties, but obviously not worrying, are we? But it would have been good to see a higher score there from Jake.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit concerning considering the minutes he played. You know, that's 65 points there without the errors. So that's probably, you know, if he gives you 65 each game, then you're going to be relatively happy. But yeah, we probably expected a little bit more there based on what we saw in the trials.
Yeah, definitely. Tapau, 80 points in 50 minutes. Typical Tapau game, looked very good. Tommy Turbo, 73, just an inch off a ton. Had a couple of opportunities that just went astray there. And Coruscant's an interesting one, 79 points in 80 minutes. A lot of people went the Smithy-Cook combination there at hooker, but Coruscant could be a point of difference there to slot in alongside Cameron Smith potentially.
Yeah, and before people go and jump and get Tanganoa, you know, played the 47 minutes and, as you said, just a shy below a 1 point per minute. But with Lloyd Perrott coming into the side this week, just interesting to see what happens with those minutes and whether they do take a bit of a hit.
Definitely, yeah, you know, like we said, they played two of their bench forwards played 1 minute between them. Tanganoa played 47. Yeah, Sean Lane only played 33. He was quite impressive, so there could potentially be more minutes coming there for him as well. So, yeah, I think I said if you got him, you'd be happy so far, but I wouldn't be getting him this week. I'd be waiting one more week.
Yeah, so Hastings replaces Brown and, you know, as a utility, and then you've got Perrott, who comes into the side as probably a much more established front row forward, the Winterstein. I think Winterstein historically has played on the edge or played predominantly in the back row. So you would think that Perrott will fit straight into that front row rotation. So Tanganoa, I mean, if he does get the 45 minutes again this week, even with the way they're shaping up on the bench, I know they do have Lussick to come back into the side. So that's an additional risk, because if you've got Perrott and Lussick there as well, then Tanganoa's minutes are surely going to have to decrease.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a wait and see. For mine, no changes for the Eels. Nathan Brown managed 74 points in only 59 minutes. It was quite a hot day out there in the West for this game, 50 of those from base. Hayne, 36, not impressive. And Moses, we mentioned him at the top of the show, 35 points. Had a sin bin and a head knock. So you just got to take that as what it is. Missed all of his goals. And Josh Hoffman, 84 points with two tries. Pretty irrelevant there. But look, I think I've got Brown and I've got Moses, and I'll definitely be holding those two guys.
Yeah, really happy what I saw from both of them. You know, 35 points is fantastic considering that he, you know, got negative 10 from the sin bin and then was off for 10 minutes with the HIS. I think collectively he only played 55 or so minutes. So, you know, that impacts a lot. And then, yeah, as you said, Brown just looked really good. So he should continue to hold his spot as, you know, amongst the top three second row forwards this year.
Yeah. And Kane Evans, 25 points. What a joke of a player he is.
Say no more.
Raiders and Knights is the last game for the week. For the Raiders, like we said, Tarpany's out with a broken finger. Whitehead is into the second row. Bateman starts at lock, and Charlie Gubb comes onto the bench for his debut for the Raiders. Croker, we mentioned him at the top, 21 points. Havili, 50 in 30 minutes, but with a try. 30 minutes is particularly concerning there. And if I was a Havili owner, I'd be doing everything I could to try and get him up to Cook or Coruscant this week. Now, BJ and Rapana both scored 50. I think both scored exactly 50. Yeah, BJ had a try. Rapana just got through a lot of work. What are you thinking about both of these guys? I think that they're both holds, obviously. Hopefully, Rapana in particular can increase his output in the coming weeks.
Mate, I was extremely shocked to see that that BJ only scored 50 points. I think before the final score review, he was on 60-plus. He did have the try and, you know, just looked like he got through a heap. A couple of tackle breaks and plenty of work anyway, but he got reduced down to 50 points, and that was a definite bummer. I mean, he bombed a try over the line, so he would have had another 17 points and then potentially maybe some more there too. So he was looking at maybe a 70-point game. So I thought he played really well and was very you know, happy with that selection. So I'll be holding him. And then Rapana, just an absolute super coach gun. No tries. I'm not even sure if he had a line break, but 50 points for a winger is just exceptional.
Yeah, very good. I'll be keeping him. He's a potential captain option if you want to wait until the last game of the week. He's worth a look against the Knights this week, I think. Elliot Whitehead shifted to the edge when Tarpany went off, and his score included a try as well. So he would have been around about 40 in base. The Knights obviously had a good win there over Manly by a point in extra time, and as such have no changes this week. Herman Essa is interesting. Like you said, comparable to Pangai. 64 points in 52 minutes. Which one of these guys would you prefer? SA maybe in line for more minutes, it might appear.
Man, I want both if I can. So I'll be trying to do, and I haven't done the math yet to see if I can, but it would probably be a TKO down to one, and then depending on what happens next week, a Latu up to one of them. So I really want to have both of those guys in my side. But yeah, I think it's a flip of the coin. Let's just see what happens this week. This big guy has just clocked over 52 minutes and he had 56 points in base. So at his price range, that's seriously impressive.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good. I think he's definitely one to consider bringing in next week. Slade Griffin, 82 with a try, 47 from base. Played big minutes, slightly inflated with the extra time, but pretty impressed by him, to be honest. I wouldn't be jumping on him this week. If you started with him, well done. If not, wait until next week. Mitch Barnett, 52. Aiden Guerra, 57. Ponga is a gun. And Connor Watson, he was pretty solid, actually, coming in with 57 points. So a bit more than I thought he would end up on, actually, to be honest. So there's some good signs for the Knights there.
Yeah, and no, I thought that that Watson looked really good, and the fact that he was able to stay on the field for 80 minutes and not go off, which some people thought that he was, you know, going to do. You know, he should be a very, very solid cow. And yeah, Griffin's an interesting one because we've actually got four or five really good choices now in that second row and front row. Cheapy. So I've already spoken about Rocco. You know, we've got Pangai. So they've got these two Knights guys as well. So it's going to be an interesting choice to see what we, you know, what happens. But, you know, I think Griffin for me is probably last. You know, he had 47 points at base, but then he had 70. He had the try, obviously. And I think he also had, just looking at his other stats now, he also had a line break too. So you take those out and, you know, I think his score was pretty inflated, whereas SASA with the 64 points and the 56 of those coming from base is, you know, whilst he is more expensive, is a far better option for mine.
All right, mate. Well, that brings us to the end of the eight games for the week. So we usually wrap up the pod with trades. I'm not going to make any. All I'm going to do to my team this week is take the reserve off Latu and put it on Kakao, and I'm going to run with Smithy as captain instead of Tommy Turbo, which I went with last week. I was going to do Fifita vice-captain, but I take your point. Katoa and Lomax will be locked out after that Thursday night game, so there's no real loophole options for me with regards to those two players. So I think I'll leave the VC on for Fifita, but it's pretty irrelevant. I think that's all I'm going to do. What about you?
Well, I mean, ideally no trades, but as we have highlighted, there's quite a few cheapies coming through in the front and second row, which I do want to get on. So and also you've got to replace Katoa in the backs as well. So that's three trades potentially that we need to make before the first price rise. So that's why this week I'll have a long, hard think about it, but maybe TKO is the guy to make way for SASA or Pangai, and just to free up a bit of cash. And also I've got Kakao and also Watson as non-playing reserves at the moment. So by losing TKO, I'm not really, you know, I shouldn't be losing too many points, I think, if I trade him out. So that'll be the only one, and then that'll free some cash up to make two trades next week to bring in, you know, the really good cheapies, which is super important to get that right, just for the cash generation going forward.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you jump on the break-evens here, the guys who are looking like going up the most in price next week, and it all depends on this week's performance, obviously, but you've got Kakao, Corey Thompson, Hoffman, Griffin, Kenar, Walker Blake, Matt Frawley, Sammy Fotella Mariner, Rocco, Sam Williams. So you've got a couple of guys in there at higher prices who absolutely smashed round one. And then the cheaper guys are really the Kakao, Griffin, Kenner, Sammy, Rocco, Papali, Isako. So you've got to make sure that, you know, that you nail most of those guys, which I think most of us have already got. Maybe sort of Slade Griffin and Rocco would be the ones that some people wouldn't have, like myself.
Yeah, and I guess how would you approach that situation where you've got you know, some cheaper cows, which I know you're very good at this, but in terms of, you know, figuring out you know, what the cash they're likely to generate. So just say if you've got a Tangadoa or a Latu, for example, and they're going to generate cash, hopefully, might be some slow burns versus a SASA and a Pangai, who are priced, you know, that mid price region over 300K. You know, what would you do? Would you go down to the cheaper guys or go up to these you know, mid prices that look like they could potentially be having breakout years?
Obviously depends on the quality of the cheaper guys, but I'd probably go down to the cheaper guys just because there's, you know, there's the chance that they might nab some attacking stats or a try or something. And then all of a sudden they've averaged the same as the mid-pricer over a 3 or 4 week period. But obviously because they start from a lower base, they're going to increase more in value. So if you think that they can score comparably to the mid-pricer, obviously the cheaper guy makes sense. But those sort of SASA Pangai Junior probably going to average 10 to 15 more than these guys. So it's really a question of cash generation early versus points. And this year with the buys being largely irrelevant, I think runs on the board also needs to be considered. So it's a tough one. It's a tough one, mate.
And I think what I completely forgot about too, but worth noting, is that the Knights game also went to Golden Point as well. So there was an additional, I think, almost 10 minutes there. So whilst SASA looks like he's played a massive game with 52 minutes, I think there was five or so of those minutes played in extra time. And also for Griffin as well, he obviously played, pretty sure that he would have played some time in Golden Point as well. So hence why we always say, don't trade the first week, just wait, because, you know, TKO might come out this week, regain the goal kicking, play 50 minutes, score 70 points, and then SASA might go back to the 40 minutes per game and then, you know, produce 50 points.
Yeah, and then you'll just be frustrated because, you know, you've made one or two trades and all your players who you trade score exactly the same. But just long term, mate, Supercoach is a marathon, not a sprint. Long season.
That is correct, mate. So what do you reckon? Are you a little bit more confident than what you've historically been, or do you just think I've got this in the bag like most seasons?
No, I think that I'll get you this year. I mean, our teams are pretty similar, so it's just going to come down to selections each week, captains and reserves, which I'm absolutely shocking at. I can never get that right. And then it'll be obviously mid-season trades. And you once AFL season starts, you usually lose interest. So I think I'll just move further ahead.
Mate, there's no way I can lose interest because Carlton's so shit. So I've got I'll just continue following the rugby league. But mate, you could do worse than just put the captain on Cam Smith every week and just take the 65 to 70 points, double that, and then, you know, you're pretty safe.
Yeah, it's just these reserves. You know, you look at Kakao, Cartwright, Watson, Isako. You know, it just does my head in each week trying to work out who's going to score more, and you never get it right.
Yeah, well, I think if Kakao's one of you guys you're looking at, considering he played for 35 minutes last week, I probably would be maintaining him as a non-playing reserve.
Outside of the 17.
Yeah, I think so. Like, if you take the try out, I think there was a line break there too. Whilst he looked really, really good, a lot of people are going to be throwing straight into to the side. I can see him having a little bit of a regression this week. So just pulling up his stats in detail from last week. So he had two line breaks, mate, and he also had a try. So he's not going to get that every week. So I can see him producing 35 to 40 points this week.
Yeah. Well, I would have taken that last week compared to Latu's 24.
But what you'll find is that pretty much everyone will start with him and also Kenna, and I would go the other way.
Okay. Well, we shall see, mate. We shall see, shouldn't we?
We should. And on that, mate, that's a wrap. Week one is done and week two is starting tomorrow night. So pretty excited for the game, and I hope you have a nice week. And thanks, guys, for downloading and listening again. We've got a heap coming up over the next couple of days. So we've got buy, sell, hold, which should be up very soon. We've also got Wacko's Whispers back, and heaps of other stuff. And also, I'm not sure if you've seen, but live chat is back up and available pre-lockout. So just if you want to come and talk about your team selections or your captains, there's no better place to do it than NRLSupercoachTalk.com with the live chat that happens within our weekly scores. And chat, and mate, we need to do a little bit better with our banner curse.
Yeah, I know. Well, I always do it, and every time you try to take over, you always stuff it up.
You've got it this week, mate. You've got it. You've got it until you stuff up, and then I'll take over.
Okay, deal. Thanks for listening, guys. Speak to you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.